Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and it is great to be with you here on this Friday. We have got a fantastic show for you. Before I tell you about it, let's kick things off with prayer, remembering that wherever we are, the Lord is with us, and He is waiting to hear from us. So let's talk to Him in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, Father in heaven. Thank you for bringing us to this new day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all of the blessings that you have given to us in our lives. Father, we're going to face challenges today, so we're going to ask for your help. Please help us with the challenges we face, the difficulties, the problems. We give them to you. We ask for your help. We ask that you give us the strength that we need to handle them in a way that would please you. And also, please help us to draw other people close to you today. We ask you to speak through us on the radio program today. We know you have a message for us, so use us here at the station to proclaim that message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. We do have a good show today for you. My name is Gary Zimek. This is Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. We are so blessed to be with you here today. Coming up on the program, we're going to have author Tom Hoops with us. Tom recently wrote an article that caught my attention. What does it matter if my rosary is blessed? You ever wonder that? You ever think, well, this sounds superstitious? Well, Tom's going to be here to talk about this. Also, Dr. Gregory Popchak will be here to discuss mental illness. This is a topic that I really wanted to have Greg come in and talk about. Mental illness, what is it? How do I know if I need to seek professional help or if I'm just having a bad day? So we're going to talk about that with Dr. Greg Popchak right now, the one, the only, Mr. Dave
Good
Parker.
Good morning, Gary.
Mr. Parker,
Good
how
morning,
are you?
Listeners. I'm well. How are you?
I'm well as well.
All right.
That's two wells in one sentence. Look who's back with us, Dave.
Good morning, Jerry.
There he is.
None other than Frank Eliason.
Yes.
We morning, missed Frank. You, Frank.
Oh, speak for yourself.
Whoa, okay. Well,
Dave, are you going to stand for that?
I'm sitting for it.
Yeah.
No, hey, Frank. You know, again, let's take two. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Good morning.
Okay, good morning.
It is good to have the team back together. Well, Frank, we survived without you here.
That
barely,
is correct.
Barely, but we kept the station on the air.
That is correct.
Really?
Got to enjoy listening on the other end.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
well,
and
how did we sound?
Come on,
do
Dave.
I have
don't,
to answer
don't,
that?
Yeah, you got to know, Dave. Don't push your
feedback.
Luck, please.
All right.
Anyway, you know, I thought since we're all back together, it would be time, and you're looking, Dave, very uncomfortably at me because you have no idea what I'm about to say.
Yeah. You gave me a little heads up.
We don't rehearse these things ahead of time. But in the past,
people can sense that.
Very well said, Frank.
Frank, let me talk to you then. You realize that Dave Parker.
Oh, no.
Is a wealth of knowledge and information, right?
I like to call him Cliff Clavin.
There you go. So one of the most popular features on this show, at least in my mind anyway, is the Did You Know segment, where we ask Dave some questions. Right? These are little-known facts. And I thought it would be fun to just bring this out again today. We have not done this particular list before. It comes from the website.
Wait, let me get my thinking cap on. Let me get it out of my pocket. Okay.
This comes from the website didyouknows.com. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I'll throw this one. Frank, you're skeptical. I know. Let me throw this one out to both of you guys.
Okay.
The percentage of people in the world who are left-handed. Any idea?
I will say 35%.
11%.
Okay.
11% of the people in the world are left-handed. All right. Did you know the average person falls asleep in 7 minutes? This is a great segment, isn't it?
Yeah. Really, moving along. Are we supposed? Yes, I think that's true.
Okay,
but
I think it varies.
Sometimes. How about you, Gary?
See,
do you fall asleep in 7 minutes?
I do.
Are you normal?
I do. My wife will say that. I'm even less than that.
Wow. Okay.
The thing I like about playing this game with you is you're going to really try to explain these. I can see your brain working. All right. How about a question now?
Okay.
Which has more sugar, lemons or strawberries?
I'll say lemons.
That is correct. That is correct. All right. How about, did you know that rabbits like licorice?
How are rabbits like licorice?
I don't know. Well, how about this one?
Was that in Watership Down?
Look, Frank, it's printed out. This is real.
I read it on the internet. It must be true.
Yes, exactly.
Or Wikipedia.
All right, Mr. Smarty Pants Eliason, how about this? Did you know reindeer like bananas?
Nope. Didn't
about
it.
You see?
I like to give them carrots, personally.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Dave Parker?
Yes.
And you wonder why this Did You Know segment hasn't been around for a while, right?
Really?
One of the most popular segments my mind.
And we're going to repeat that, folks.
Here is a challenge from you.
Yes, go ahead.
The only word in the English language which ends in M-T.
Ooh.
Any ideas? I will tell you.
Unkempt? No, that's not, no. K-E-M-P-T?
Yeah, that's right. Empty.
Empty. Okay, I'm trying to think.
No, that's very good, though. Dreamt is the only word that ends in
empty. No, that did not come to me.
The smallest bones in the human body are found where?
In the feet.
In the ear.
Oh, okay. I should have known that.
I think I still have time, Frank, and I know you're going to be excited about this for one
more. We got lots of time.
Okay, how about this one? Dave or Frank? We were talking about candy not too long ago. M&M's chocolate stands for what?
I have no clue.
Well, I'm going to tell you. The inventors, Mars and Murray.
Oh.
That's what M&M stands for.
I knew it was Mars. I could not think of the second M.
How about this one?
All right.
How about this one? I'm on a roll now. Let's see. How much time to the gospel?
Oh, a lot.
That's what our listening audience is saying right
now. Too much.
I don't know. I think this is fun. Mm. How about this? Did you know each time you see a full moon, you always see the same side? Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you care?
I didn't care is what it came down to.
Because we see the hey, doesn't that... We never saw that side before. It must be the dark side. It must have rotated, which it should not.
All right. How about a cat question? Because I know, Frank, you are a cat lover. How much percentage of their lives do cats spend asleep?
Oh, it depends on the cat. I have two cats that are extraordinarily active, and then one who's not. So I would say about 70%.
Wow, you were very close, 66%.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Frank, you were so underwhelmed with that.
All right, I know you guys are begging me to go on, but...
No, a couple more.
Okay, a couple more.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley's middle name. I happen to know this. I don't know why I know this, but I do know this.
Because you're a musician. I do not know.
His middle name is Aaron, but it's spelled A-R-O-N, not the typical way you would spell it. All right, Dave, I know you know this one. The Hawaiian alphabet has how many letters?
Oh, man.
Yeah, he might know this, right?
52.
13.
Okay. 13. Wow. I just doubled.
Ralph Lauren's original name, now these are really...
What, Polo?
Ralph Lauren's original name is Ralph Lifshitz.
Please.
That's what, I'm telling you, that's what it says.
All right, so we have the Eagles game this weekend.
Yeah. We do. All right, so much for Did You Know. We'll bring this out again when we need it. Let's talk about the Eagles game.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, you brought it up.
I was just trying to change the subject.
How about that new running back? Hey.
You're so up on things.
I know. Well, it's only 2.5 days old. Come on.
I think the fact is that the team is definitely making the play for the playoffs.
They are committed
to doing it. And, I think that's exciting about a trade deadline trade such as that. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, it seems like a good deal. We'll see over time. The one thing about this team is they really seem to have a camaraderie around mm-hmm. themselves. And the one thing I do worry about is what happens when you add something new into that mix. Mm-hmm. Is it the right thing or not? And we'll see over the next few weeks how that works out.
How he melds with the team. And Mr. Ajayi.
Yes.
Welcome aboard.
Anybody have anything else? Did you know? Did you know that it's time for Gary to read the weather?
Go for
it. You guys are brutal today. You're killing me.
Well, we're waiting on you.
I'm breaking a sweat.
We're taking your lead.
We're taking your lead. Thank you.
And kind of enjoying it. Just watching you sweat.
I know. And I am sweating. I don't usually sweat in this room. But
we're waiting with bated breath.
But it is a nice day today.
The current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport is 58 degrees under mostly cloudy
Dave's
skies.
Dave's here wearing shorts. Yeah. We all have short sleeve shirts on.
Yeah.
Yep. Today, we're going to have areas of dense fog before 10 a.m. We already encountered that headed to the station.
Welcome to Doylestown.
That's right.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 76 today. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 47. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 59. At the moment in West Grove, it's 56. In Glenside, it's 50. And in Quakertown, it is 55 degrees.
All right. Good All weather. Right. Good weather.
Time for the gospel, boys?
Yeah, I would think so.
Please, Jesus, save us.
He always does. That's why we're here. Oh, man.
Speaking of camaraderie.
Today's gospel comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. In front of him, there was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus spoke to the scholars of the law and the Pharisees in reply, asking, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silent. So he took the man, and after he had healed him, dismissed him. Then he said to them, "Who among you, if your son or ox falls into a cistern, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" But they were unable to answer his question. Here we go again. This is the old, the same scenario we see play out time and time again. The opponents of Jesus, looking to trip him up, want to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Now, there's work and there's work. The intent of not working on the Sabbath is to devote the time to the Lord.
Exactly.
I mean, Jesus is healing on the Sabbath. Plus, he's Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Savior. But this is obviously, these are people who are, they're close-minded. And they want the Savior to come in a different way. And they don't respect the fact that Christ is the Messiah.
They couldn't handle the thought that he's not the Messiah because he doesn't fit our expectations.
Right.
Regardless whether he is the Messiah or not, the reality is, if in helping someone, aren't you doing the Lord's work?
Well, exactly.
So you don't even have to, you know, believe it was Jesus. The reality is, you to honor God.
Yeah.
You know, helping someone is one of the best ways to do it.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, the cistern. Now it could be full of water or it could be dry, but still. Oh, excuse me, can't do it until Monday morning.
Well, or how about this? Go to church on Sunday and tell your priest, "Hey, Father, you're supposed to honor the Lord today. You're not supposed to work today."
Exactly.
There's work and then there's work, right?
Well, you must help
doing
our brothers
the Lord's
and sisters.
Work is a good thing, even on the Sabbath.
Good point,
when
Brian
we come back, America. Tom Hoops, what does it matter if my rosary is blessed? Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 3rd. Today we celebrate Saint Martin de Porres. An illegitimate mulatto reared in poverty, Martin was locked into a low level of Lima, Peru's society when he was born in 1579. At 12, he became the apprentice of a barber surgeon. He learned how to cut hair, care for wounds, and prepare and administer medicines. But Martin wanted more. He approached the Dominicans, seeking acceptance as a lay helper, since he didn't feel worthy to be a religious brother. But after 9 years in that role, the community asked him to become a brother, so moved were they by the example of his prayer and penance, charity and humility. He also served as spiritual director to many in his community. Brother Martin spent his days caring for the sick and poor, whatever their color, race, or status. He helped found an orphanage and cared for slaves newly arrived from Africa. Early in life, Martin was presented with a choice: either become bitter and complain about his difficult lot, or devote himself to good works. He took the latter route. Today we honor him as a model of Christian forgiveness and justice. Martin died in 1639 and was canonized in 1962. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
Getting your daily dose of vitamin Z. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
We used to hide from the light. We made friends with the night. We were headed the wrong way on a one-way track, going nowhere fast. We got used to the dark. We thought, this is who we are. And we figured that we were just too far gone. But we were wrong. Cause love came running like a river. And we got washed in the water.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was then. This is Now by Josh Wilson. I'm Gary Zimek, and I'm so glad that you could join us today. The time right now is 7:18. Did you ever wonder why it matters if your rosary is blessed? Did you ever feel that it sounds superstitious to get a rosary blessed? Well, I recently ran across an article on the internet, specifically on Alatea.org. The article was this: What Does It Matter If My Rosary Is Blessed? By Tom Hoops. Tom is writer in residence at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. He's the author of the book, What Pope Francis Really Said. And he's here to talk about the article, What Does It Matter If My Rosary Is Blessed? Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for being willing to get up early and join us on the program.
No problem at all.
Tom, this is a great article. What does it matter if my rosary is blessed? This is a question that I've had. I know what the church teaches, but sometimes it feels a little superstitious.
Yeah, it feels like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Like there's a light side of the force, which is the blessed rosary, and there's a dark side of the force, which is tarot cards and pentagrams. And you can get into this feeling that it's a little off somehow, especially here at Benedictine College. We have a very intense. What these are called is sacramentals.
Mm-hmm.
So sacraments, of course, are the main channels of grace that the church guarantees come to you. Sacramentals are these smaller sort of religious objects that are
right.
meant to dispose you for grace. And there's a big deal here at Benedictine College. We have every building has a St. Benedict medal in its foundation. We mixed Lourdes water into the concrete at our grotto. And so you tell families these things, and sometimes they wonder, well, okay, I think that's great. I kind of like that that's there, but why? So the article tried to explore a little bit of why these things make us feel comforted, why they're okay, why they're not weird, and so we can go through that this morning if you like.
Yeah, I really would, but you know, you made a point before we get into some of those specifics. You made a point, and I really liked what you said here. You said, for instance, my rosary was blessed by Father Jeremy when we ambushed him outside the parish church. Is it less blessed than the Guadalupe statue in our garden over which Father Juan Diego did a mini ceremony using blessed oil and holy water? Great question, right? Like, because I've had a priest bless a rosary, and he said, I bless this in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. And I said, is that it? You know, because we have that tendency. Can something be more blessed or less blessed?
Well, yeah, now that's a good question. So you have to go back to consider what a blessing really is. And the key to a blessing is that it's the same type of thing as a prayer. So we pray in many ways. We pray by speaking out loud to our Father. We pray by kneeling down. We pray by making the sign of the cross. We also pray by putting a crucifix up in our office or by putting a nativity scene up at Christmas time. We pray in all these different ways. And if you get somebody to pray with you, if I say that Our Father with the priest outside of Mass or with my family, it's a, you know, according to the Bible, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. It's a little bit more effective. Well, what happens when something is blessed is the priest confers his blessing on it, such that he's joining you in prayer, and whatever that object disposes you to prayer, you're being disposed to prayer in conjunction with that priest, who is a representative of the church. So is something more blessed or less blessed? I think that we instinctively understand that when the Pope blesses an object, you're kind of, you know, it's the Vicar of Christ. It feels a little bit more blessed.
Right, right.
I think it officially probably isn't, because anybody who's a representative of the church joining you in that prayer, and that prayer is not going to be guaranteed. A blessed object does not guarantee anything like the way a sacrament does. The blessed object is as guaranteed as a prayer. Now, prayers are something that God always answers, but he doesn't always answer them in a particular way. So let me explain that a little bit
more. Yeah, please do.
If the priest raises the host and says the words of consecration, we know exactly what he's praying for. He's praying that that host will become the body and blood of Christ.
Right.
And the sacraments of the church assure us that that actually will happen every time he does it the right way and with the right intention. When I pray for my grandmother to get better on my rosary, God will answer that and make her better sometimes. Sometimes he'll answer that and say, you know what, the thing that's better for her is that she bears this sickness or whatever it is. So the prayers are answered, but these are prayers that are answered in a different way from the sacraments. It's not a guarantee that your prayer will be exactly the way you expect it to be.
Tom, let's break down the difference, if we could, between a sacrament and a sacramental. There is a relation between the relationship between the two, correct? But sacraments give grace, sacramentals do not.
Right, so sacraments confer grace, so it's guaranteed.
Okay.
What the sacramental does is predispose you or dispose you for grace, right? So the catechism links the two up as one linked to the other. I like the analogy of, you know, a sacrament is like a window that you open or a blind that you lift, and the light is going to pour in no matter what. If you do it the right way, that light from that sacrament is going to pour into your life. Well, the sacramentals are sort of objects in the room that are going to catch the light, right?
Okay.
So the grace that comes in through that sacrament is going to be helped along by those sacramentals, but it's not the direct channel to the grace of Jesus Christ that the sacrament is.
If my rosary is blessed, does that mean my prayers will get answered more than if it's not blessed? I mean, I know that's a silly question, but it feels like that's the case.
It is a silly... No, it's not a silly question, because that's like saying if I pray with my family or pray with my priest for something, is that prayer going to be more efficacious than if I pray it alone? And you know what? If you pray with the representative of the church, you're getting special attention to your prayer. Prayer is mysterious. God listens to the child who prays alone by his bed. He listens to the congregation in the church, but he has clearly set up representatives here on earth of his church to help dispose people to grace, and that's what a blessing does.
Yeah, and I think you touched on something that we all wrestle with, the idea that prayer is mysterious, and there are things about prayer that we don't understand. We know that it does work by faith. We know that it works, but as human beings, I think we struggle with the fact that I can't necessarily quantify the results of my prayer. You know, if I pray for 2 hours, then I get this much. If I pray for 3 hours, I get more.
Right. Well, and you know what? But God is understands us on a very human level. I mean, he made humanity the way it is.
Right.
He knows we like to kneel, and it means something when we kneel.
Right.
He knows we like objects that are that remind us of God. And you know what? He also likes that we put medals on to sort of show him. It's like a child. One of my child will say, "Hey, look at me, Dad." Mm-hmm. And he's got something that's ridiculous that he thinks is awesome, or he's doing something ridiculous that he thinks is. And I take pleasure in that. I don't
right.
say I don't critique the what he's done. So God, when we're wearing a medal, when we're praying a rosary, he likes that we're making the effort, and I think he responds to that.
And I think as a result of this article, I think, and I'm going to link this at spiritinthemorning.com because I think it's important to read this. As a result of what you did here in this article, the idea of getting a rosary blessed doesn't seem superstitious anymore. And I think a lot of people struggle with that, Tom, thinking that, oh, well, this is just superstitious. But it's not, because it unites us more closely with the church.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a great effort. And honestly, this is the first article of its kind that I've seen. So I thank you for writing it.
Oh, you bet. I looked around for one, too, and I didn't find one.
I mean, it seems like
might as well be the guy.
Yeah, good for you, because this seems like a question a lot of people have had. This. I've run into people who have asked this. I've asked this myself. So thank you for writing it, and thank you again for joining us on Spirit in the Morning.
You bet. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Dave, that was a really good piece, wasn't it?
Very good piece.
It sometimes feels overly superstitious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
To get an article blessed or to wear a medal, if we don't really think about it.
Mm-hmm. And he addressed that early on. I mean, because, like, is that just like it's a mojo or something? Yeah, no. I love the connection, the analogy he made between the sunlight coming through the window.
That was
and
great
then
analogy.
The object upon which it falls. But there's a relationship there.
Yeah. So sacramentals, they serve a purpose. They unite us more closely with the church. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily give us grace, but they dispose us to be able to receive grace. And that's they're a gift. I know I've got my blessed medals. I have holy water at home. Sacramentals are incredibly important.
Yeah, predisposes us to that. But it gets us in the mindset.
Right.
It keeps us focused. It's, it helps our veneration, not of that object, but
Correct.
Of God
Correct.
And of Mary and of the Holy Spirit. It brings our attention to that and tries to focus us.
That's right. So anyway, great article. What does it matter if my rosary is blessed? And check out spiritinthemorning.com for a link to that article. When we come back, Dr. Greg Popchak. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The 8 people killed in a truck driver's rampage have been honored with a nighttime walk down the riverfront where the victims died as both investigators and terror-weary New Yorkers try to make sense of the crime. Some of the marchers carried candles last night. Others pushed bicycles in solidarity with the victims. The walk took place hours after the city began installing protective barriers along that path. In Washington, President Trump is praising the rollout of the GOP's tax reform plan. In a tweet, Trump writes, quote, "The lobbyists are storming Capitol Hill, but Republicans will hold strong and do what is right for America," end quote. Republican lawmakers introduced the more than 400-page bill earlier yesterday, which would lower the corporate tax rate and simplify the personal code. Celebrating All Souls Day Mass at an Italian cemetery for Americans who died in World War II, Pope Francis used his homily yesterday to condemn war. He said, quote, "When so many times in history men think of starting a war, they are convinced they are bringing a new world. They are convinced of bringing a spring, and it ends in a bad, cruel winter with the reign of terror and death, end quote. The Pope went on to say, may the Lord give us the grace to weep. Also yesterday, the Holy Father visited the Ardeatine Caves Memorial, where in 1944, some 335 Italian men and boys were massacred by Nazis in a revenge attack. Vatican Radio reports Pope Francis prayed there and gave a reflection, and afterwards, upon returning to Rome, he visited the Vatican grottos to pray in private at the tombs of his predecessors for their souls and the souls of all the departed. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Join us at the Miraculous Medal Shrine for our second annual Spanish Family Celebration in honor of the Feast of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, November 7th at 6 p.m. Vincentian Bishop Alfonso Cabezas will celebrate Mass. Our celebration will include the Rosary, Novena prayers, a procession, and the anointing of the sick. We are collecting personal care items for the people of Mexico and Puerto Rico. Please visit miraculousmedal.org or Mary's Miraculous Medal Family Facebook page for details. We are located at 500 East Chelten Avenue, Philadelphia.
Ven a celebrar el Día de la Medalla Milagrosa el próximo 7 de noviembre a las 6 de la tarde. Invitado Obispo Alfonso Cabezas. Procesión y rosario, misa, imposición de medallas y consagración. Bendición para los enfermos. Trae tu donación de productos de aseo, hogar y artículos para bebés para México y Puerto Rico. Información mariamedallamilagrosa.org. Facebook Familia de la Medalla Milagrosa de María. Estamos en la 500 Este Chelten Avenue, Philadelphia.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I might be halfway through this valley and my eyes just can't see a quick way out. And in my scene, life's got it out for me, like I'm in way too deep, but I have found every single circumstance I can place in greater hands. I won't let my trouble bring me down. Just cast my cares, won't sink into despair. I won't find answers there, only doubt. Every single circumstance I can face in greater hands. God, I know you'll never let me down. I've got your doubt in my soul. I'm gonna take it everywhere I go. Not gonna worry about what I don't know. I'll be alright as long as no matter how I feel, gonna be my strength, be my truth, gonna light the way, see me through.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was Johnny Diaz, and the name of that song was Joy. We're so glad that you could join us on the program today. As I travel around and I speak about overcoming anxiety, it's one of the most popular topics I discuss. I often run into people who say, when is it time to seek professional help? I'm anxious. I'm worried. I feel unhappy. Things appear hopeless to me. When is it time to seek professional help? So as a result, and I honestly don't know the answer to that question. One of the people I like to turn to is Dr. Gregory Popchak. He is a regular guest on the show. He's a good friend. You can find him online at CatholicCounselors.com. He's also the co-host, along with his wife, Lisa, of More to Life on EWTN Radio. Dr. Greg joins us now to talk about this idea of mental illness and when is it time to seek help. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
So glad that you could come on the show. Greg, this is a big topic.
It's
one that I've always wrestled with this, the idea of mental illness. That's a scary term. And I've wondered in my own life, because I've struggled with anxiety, do I have mental illness? What does this mean? Does this mean I will be in an insane asylum? I mean, I literally wondered about this question. Could you, before we talk about when it's time to seek help, could you define mental illness?
Well, sure. It's basically a scary phrase, right?
It is.
And so it's not something that I think that we need to be concerned with, in terms of, you know, like you said, does it mean that I have that I'm warped in some way, or that I have to go to a mental institution, or those sorts of things?
Right.
I mean, loosely speaking, a mental illness is any illness that affects the way we think, that affects the way we feel, mm-hmm. that affects the way we function, right? And more important, though, than kind of thinking about, you know, am I mentally ill,
mm-hmm.
it's more a matter of, you know, are my feelings affecting the way that, affecting my ability to live the life that I want to have? You know, are my feelings somehow getting in the way of my ability to function well at work, in my relationships, or just in general, be the person that I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's not so much useful to kind of talk so much about mental illness as
okay.
it is to just talk about, am I really functioning the way I'd like to be able to function in those different areas of my life?
And the important thing is to realize that many of us we're all hardwired differently. And this is one thing that I have always known in my life. I tend to look on the negative side of things. I tend to catastrophize. Is that the right word?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I tend to do that. Now, for instance, if I'm trying to reach my wife, she's not answering the phone, she's running an errand somewhere, my mind typically gravitates to, she must have been in a car accident, something happened. Not everybody thinks that way. Why is that, Greg?
Well, you know, it's funny that you'd say that. Because I have a friend who says she goes from zero to widow in 3 seconds.
Wow! Yeah, right. I'm there. I can relate to that.
Right, right. But the reality is, to be honest, we're actually biologically wired to emphasize the negative more than the positive.
Really?
The reason for that is actually there's one condition where that's not true. The one condition where that's not true is when we feel genuinely connected
mm-hmm.
to the people around us. Because when we don't feel connected or attached to the people around us, we're vulnerable, right?
So
just biologically, if we for whatever reason feel disconnected,
mm-hmm.
We need to go into sort of that hyper awareness place where we're looking out for danger, where we're looking out for those threats.
Right.
So we're biologically wired to look out for those dangers and to prepare for, to take care of ourselves or protect ourselves if we feel disconnected. Now, you know, when you're talking about, well, why does that happen? That can happen for lots of different reasons, for the way we grew up or mm-hmm. the experiences that we've had. But basically what happens is that some people have a greater sense of disconnection from others that causes them to really feel that greater sense of isolation, that greater sense of vulnerability, that greater sense of aloneness.
Mm.
And that's where that kicks that biological drive into high gear, that biological drive to sort of emphasize the negative into high gear, which can actually be wear you down, of course, in certain situations.
Right.
It's okay for short periods of time if you to be hyper aware and to be aware of those dangers and to try and be looking out for that sort of thing, but it does grind you down over time if that's the place that you're living in.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, throughout my life, as I said, I've struggled with anxiety, and I have found through the grace of God that I am able to manage it and feel relatively peaceful with the help of the Lord when I turn to Him in prayer, when I receive the sacraments, when I read Scripture. You know, that works for me. But I've dealt with people who say, I'm doing all that, but it still is not enough. I am still a wreck about everything. When is it time to seek help?
Well, you know, you don't have to wait till you're a wreck. You know,
okay.
I think you got to go back to what I was saying earlier. Really, you know, it's time to seek help when the resources that you have available to you are not up to the job of helping you function the way you'd like to function in your work, your relationships, or as the person that you want to be. Because the longer you wait, you know, or the worse it gets, the longer it takes to get better.
Okay.
And I think that you know, for example, in marriage counseling, people tend to wait 4 to 6 years for the onset of problems, the time that they actually seek help.
Wow.
It's a similar time for individual counseling as well. And by then, you know, there's a lot of damage that's been done. It's sort of like if you're not feeling well, going to the doctor for a cold or anything else early is your best approach. And the same thing is true with emotional health. If you find that you're in a situation where the resources you've got at your disposal are not helping you get to where you want to be in some area of your life, and you feel like you're being held back by your emotions, and it's going on for more than a couple of weeks, it's time to seek some help.
Okay, and I'm really glad you're on talking about this because unfortunately, I still believe there's a stigma about this. Some people don't want to seek that help, and I'll share a personal story. When I was in college, I remember being at orientation day with my parents. They came with me, and the fact was mentioned that if you need psychological help, there's a counselor available at college or whatever. And at the time, I was struggling with anxiety. I remember saying to my mother, oh, I'd like to go get some help. She said, you can't do that because people will think you're crazy. You know, Greg, and I don't think, I mean, hopefully it's gotten better, but at the time I was growing up, there was definitely a stigma about seeking help, professional help.
Sure, sure. And I'm glad you're talking about this because the reality is that kind of an attitude actually stops a lot of people from being able to have the life that God wants them
exactly.
to have.
Exactly.
And, you know, in truth, every single one of us is going to have some kind of mental illness at one point or another in our lives.
Wow.
Every single one of us.
Yeah.
Because, there are certain diagnoses, for example, called an adjustment disorder. Mm-hmm. An adjustment disorder is sort of the common cold to psychotherapy, where, you know, a person is going through an unusual stressor or an unusual number of stressors that are impacting their ability to function well in their work or their relationships or their life in some way. Every single one of us has experienced that. Now, sometimes it gets better on its own, and we don't need to go in for help. But if you find that there's something that's holding you back for several weeks or even several months, and it's really just not going away, and the resources that you've got at your disposal are not up to the job, why suffer?
Mm.
The reality is the techniques the therapists use have improved so much, even in the last 10 years. And in fact, what we need to realize is that psychotherapy is really physical therapy for the brain. You know, it enables different parts of the brain that process emotions, that process the way we handle our emotions or make choices to function better. There's several studies now that talk about, that took a look at the functional magnetic resonance imaging pictures before and after therapy and found that there were profound changes in the way the brain worked before and after cognitive therapy after only 12 weeks.
Wow.
Well, yeah. and a lot can be done in a short period of time.
And what I like about your work, and this is why when people ask me, do you recommend it? But I always send people to you because you combine the spiritual with the psychological. And I think that's so important that you do both of those things.
Well, and it is important because most people actually would like to be able to talk about their faith and spirituality in session, but a lot of therapists really aren't prepared or qualified to do that. And we make sure to integrate our Catholic faith and spirituality directly into the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is very helpful to be able to, for example, talk about both cognitive therapy, and Ignatian, discernment of spirits, for instance.
Yeah.
Or, you know, be able to talk about behavior and in combination with virtue, you know. And most of our clients really do appreciate that approach.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And we are just about at a break. I have about 30 seconds left. I just want to share, I did a retreat not too long ago in Washington State. Somebody was there who struggled with anxiety. And he had been in therapy for many years. And you know, I'm not qualified to be a therapist. I'm an evangelist. And basically I said, well, you know, this is what this retreat is about. Go talk to Jesus for a little bit. He did. He felt peaceful. And he said, you know what? Nobody's ever told me to do that before. I mean, so it's wonderful what you do, how you combine the psychological counseling along with the Catholic faith.
Well, thank you. And if folks would like to learn more about what we do, they can go to CatholicCounselors.com.
You read my mind. That's what I was going to ask you, brother. Hey, you're going to be at the EWTN radio conference next week, correct?
Yes, we are. Lisa and I both are next week.
And, okay.
Seeing you there.
Now, I have a favor to ask. I'm going to be there. My family's coming with me. I told them that you and me were good friends. So can you pretend that you know me?
Oh, I guess so.
Hey, man, it'll be good to see you next week.
Hey, God bless you.
God bless you, too. Dr. Greg Popchak. Man, Dave, I always enjoy having him on.
Thank you, Dr. Greg.
I think that's so important, what he said about don't be afraid to seek help. It's okay.
Exactly. And I want to commend you. I mean, you and one of the first steps or the first step is admitting it, and then but you're sharing it, you know, your struggles, and it takes a lot of courage to do that, Gare.
Well, thank you.
And I've been there. Others have been there. So, yeah.
And it doesn't,
kudos to you.
It doesn't mean, thank you, brother, but it doesn't mean that you have a weak faith. Jesus heals in many ways, and he uses people like Dr. Greg Popchak to heal as well. So check him out, CatholicCounselors.com. We'll be right back.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. The late writer William Arthur Ward had some thought-provoking ideas on prayer you might consider. He wrote, "Wonderful things happen to us when we live expectantly, believe confidently, and pray affirmatively. Seeking to find how I should pray, this came to mind. Thank God each day." Prayer does not always bring us what we want. Rather, it helps us to become the kind of persons we should be. The value of prayer is not in what it gives us, but in what it makes us. It is not primarily a method of getting, but it is a splendid way of growing. To get a free Christopher News Note on prayer, send your request to radio@christophers.org. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
No matter the weather, you're always listening in the sun. It's a great day with Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
This life you gave, our greatest prayer, our act of faith, is an open hand. Lord, have your way. Take it all, every hope, every dream, every plan. Take it all, every weight, all the shame. Surrender all, every victory and loss. Take it all to know I have is open.
Dave Parker, I'll tell you what, man.
I'm more awake in the last segment.
A good idea to crack the host up right before he comes back from break. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. We have fun here. That was Open Hands by Laura Story, featuring Matt Powell from Third Day. Oh, man, what a good show today. Frank Eliason, you have something you wanted to share.
Yeah, I came across an interesting thing this morning just out of the Boston Globe, which is TJ Maxx, so a company that has Home Goods, Marshalls, and TJ Maxx. So TJX companies is what they're actually known as. They're actually paying their employees in Puerto Rico, even though their stores are closed, like many of their stores are closed. I'm sure some have reopened since then.
And beautiful.
I was really taken by that. Mm-hmm. And then I went to dig a little bit further and found their CEO, Ernie Herrmann. He's Catholic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is like your faith in business and, you know, how to bring it to business, making decisions that are the right decisions for that community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just to, you know, company I would highly recommend supporting, you know, because they're doing what's right for the community. They are paying those employees, you know, so it's TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods. So,
and he's putting his faith into action, as we're all called to do. I mean, that's a beautiful example.
There's ways to bring it into business. You don't have to necessarily be in business evangelizing and all this. Maybe it's how you make decisions, or, you know, making a decision to pay employees in times of natural disasters like that. That's an easy way of doing it.
Yeah, it really is. Great to hear that.
I could hear Jesus now. What did you do to help my brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Did you feed them?
Yeah.
Did you clothe them? Did you give them water? You know, that one cup of cold water may have saved their life that day. Yeah. Whatever. You know, but that's what he's doing.
But the other interesting thing is, from what I can tell, and it's, you know, obviously it's hard to tell these things, it doesn't look like the company was actually trying to say, hey, look at the great we're doing. Mm-hmm. What happened, you know, there's people on Facebook, you know, who've been saying, oh, thank you for paying my son, you know, and doing things like that. And it got picked up. Yeah. By the press. So it's not even like they were trying to do it to get this acknowledgement. They were doing it because
Praise
it's the
God.
Right thing to do.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I'm glad you found out about it, and that's a great thing to bring up. Thank you, Frank, for sharing that. Let's do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse while we have time. Philippians 4:11, St. Paul said this, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Mm-hmm. Amazingly, St. Paul wrote those words from prison.
Yes.
He was sitting in a Roman prison when he wrote those words. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave and Frank, so many times in life we convince ourselves that we will be happy if only I get that other job, or if only this person leaves me alone, or if only my health improves.
Kind of the grass is greener syndrome, I call that. I mean,
And then we get what
we'll be
times,
better if,
but we'll
know?
Get what we want, and then it'll be something else.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're
and we forget where, you know,
right?
that I got this, and thank you.
And we'll
you know,
on to
no,
the next
it's like, oh, I need this.
Be thankful for what we have. That's why I try to, like, when I get out there in that thought process you just alluded to, I think, oh, Dave, be thankful for what you have, not what you don't have and want. You know, I mean, some's extreme, some isn't, but yeah, still, we have to first say thank you, Lord, for what I do have. This life, you know, and I have a roof over my head, you know, I have food, you know, whatever. If you don't, there are ways we can help you, or people can, agencies can help you. But the thing is, always be thankful for what you do have. Take stock.
But it's difficult, and Frank, you are very aware of advertising and a lot of what we hear in the world. The message in the world is you need to buy this in order to be happy. If you love somebody, you're going to buy this expensive diamond for this person, right? I mean, that's the message of society. The only way you could be happy is by acquiring as many things
as possible.
A material
thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
but
the
it
song,
doesn't
we
work.
Live in a material world. We don't need to live in a material world.
Correct.
That's something that is self-created, and, you know, ultimately what we have to realize is, you know, the people around us, the love that's around us, that is really what it's about. And, you know, sometimes we struggle with that, and I think that's human nature to struggle with it. But, you know, we have to open our eyes to all those, the good around us, the, you know, the faith in God, that, you know, our churches, our, you know, our loved ones. Just those are the things that are really, that's the monetary aspects of life. Mm-hmm. It's not these possessions. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, our house, you know, we moved to a smaller house, and, you know, it's really funny, things don't fit, and it's like, I don't even need these things. Why do
I have these
things?
Isn't it amazing how you come across, I mean, when you take inventory, and like, wow, why do I have this? Like, you know, 8 coats or whatever, or whatever it is, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, from way long time ago.
You could be much more happier in life in, you know, recognizing that that's not and never was what was important.
Right, and you hear so many times people will lose their houses in floods or in some kind of a natural disaster, and you'll hear them say, well, I'm just thankful I'm alive, nobody got hurt. They get it. I mean, but it's so hard. It's so hard to fight. You almost feel as if you're swimming upstream sometimes because the message of the world is you do need money. You need a lot of money to be happy. But when you get a lot of money, you want even more money. And it's a never-ending quest.
What comes to mind is we have to be in the world but not of the world.
Yeah.
You know. But we have to make a living.
We have to be part of the world, too. I think we have to understand what's going on in the world. At the same time, I have relatives who lost homes in the hurricanes in Florida.
Really?
And, you know, their reaction, and it was multiple homes, so it wasn't. And their reaction was, it's not that important.
Really?
And I think a number of people were taken back by that.
Yeah.
And surprised. But I think when it happens to you, you start to go, yeah, I'm safe. My family's safe. Mm-hmm. Everybody's, That's material stuff.
That can be replaced.
That can be replaced. Who cares?
And I think that's a good point. And what we have to remember is at the moment you're in a situation like that, God gives you the grace to deal with it. But when I look at somebody losing a house and not being affected, I think, oh, my gosh, how can they say that? How can they be so calm? But if you're in the moment and we really believe that God gives us the grace, then it's understandable how they're able to say that.
Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you can be of this world is how have you helped those around you, like people that have gone through something like that.
Right, exactly.
How do you, you know, help them, you know, get their needs met? And it might be instead of material things for you, it might be using that monetary aspects for other things, for other people, and truly living your faith.
I kind of go back to, remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Yes.
I mean, that's basic. But I mean, we had Dr. Greg on. He's a psychologist. But that goes back to that. We got to feed each other and
that's right.
Help each other.
And make a difference in the world. Thanks for listening to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is right by your side. Make sure you say hi. Talk to you on Monday.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating